We're thankful for this opportunity to be with you here this afternoon and this weekend. This meeting has been a wonderful blessing to me. It's fed my soul already. And we certainly thank the Lord for his rich presence here. I'd like to, I don't know if any of them are here, but thank the men for this church for the efforts and the labors of love they have put forth to host this meeting. I know it's a lot, and we certainly appreciate their efforts, and we appreciate Brother Jeb. And Brother Jeb and I are very good friends, and he is a great blessing to me. And, you know, Brother Jeb, if he's mean to you, that means he likes you. I think Brother Jeb's probably everybody's good friend.
Yeah.
I think I thought y'all filled in the blanks there. I view Brother Jeb as a great gift to the old Baptist. He's very faithful to support our meetings, and he's a friendly brother, and we certainly love his fellowship. Appreciate it very much. And I'm not sure how I'm up here. I still have my preacher card, so all the ministers, it doesn't work. Don't try it. But we are thankful to be here with you this afternoon, and we certainly have enjoyed everything that has gone before. Brother Joe was directing our attention to first love. I think that's a very important thing for a married couple to do, try to go back to that first love. Keep the flame and the spark and all of that. Go back to where you began. But more importantly, the child of God, getting back to that first love state of when you first believed, when you first came and joined and were baptized. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, it tells them to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner some is. And, you know, people stop coming to church. How do you encourage them to come back? Well, if you keep reading, he tells them, remember the former days in which you once were illuminated. Get back to that first love state. I'd encourage all of us to labor to get back to that first love state. I felt like I've gotten closer there even this weekend. The Lord has certainly blessed us in this meeting, these times, these opportunities we have to return back to that love, that loving relationship. It seems like so many times we get busy with the necessities of life, and we just become teammates, working, doing things together. But I want to get back to that first love state that Brother Joe preached to us, so I appreciate that very much. If you have your Bibles, like to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. I'd like to look at one verse here in John, chapter 8, and we certainly beg an interest in your prayer. John, chapter 8, verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In this verse of Scripture, Jesus explains something that I think it's very important for us to consider and understand. And he starts by saying, I am. You know, he used that expression many times that it's a way to describe a God who never changes. He's not, I was or I will be. Now, we could say that. I once was young, but now I'm old. Yeah, we change, but God does not change.
Amen.
Whatever he was, he is, and he will be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he's describing here is not something that he was, but something that he is. He is when he said this, and he is right now.
Amen.
He says, I am the light of the world. Now that expression, light of the world, you know, if you go out on the street and ask this question, well, never mind, Jay Leno already tried that and it didn't go so well. You know, sometimes you think people are a little smarter than they are until you see something like that. But I was going to say, if you ask them what the light of the world was, what would they tell you? They'd say the sun. And wouldn't that be the case in our natural creation that the sun is the light of the world? That the sun, as it shines, it brings light to the whole world. When it goes down, there's darkness. Now, I believe that that sun, what it is a picture of what Jesus is. Amen. And that we can look up and know more about the Lord. Now, in Psalm 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night giveth knowledge, and there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." It doesn't matter if you speak English, Spanish, or any other language. You all can look up and you can hear what is being said to you just by looking up. I hope that we don't ever ignore that or go past it without giving it even a glance. There is some communication coming down that we miss if we're not listening. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens. You just look up. You know, it says in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Heaven is singular. You know, later on in creation, he divides the heaven into two heavens. So that there's the sky, and then there's the beyond the firmament, there's outer space, the heavens. And so as we look up into the heavens, they are speaking to us. And I believe this text tells us that that sun is telling us something about our Lord that we ought to pay attention to. You know, in Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, "The Lord God is a sun," S-U-N, "and shield. He is a sun." Malachi 4, verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear his name shall the sun," S-U-N, "of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." I believe these verses are teaching us that the Lord Jesus Christ truly is the light of the world. And that sun is a picture of who he is. Now, I think there's a lot that could be said about our natural creation and how it communicates with us. I mentioned Genesis 1, verse 1 earlier. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." You know, this universe, that's one thing, is made up of three things: time, space, and matter. Notice Genesis 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, time. God created the heaven," space, "and the earth," matter. Time, space, and matter. Three in one. And so we can look at creation and see that God has put his initials all over it. There's the time, past, present, future, three in one. Space, we got three dimensions, right? Length, width, height, three dimensions, three in one. Matter, solids, liquids, gases. I mean, you just see three in one all over creation. And time would fail us to really explore that today. But when we look at the sun, we can see a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that sun, providing light to the world, that sun comes up in the east, sets in the west, and as it goes, we think it's moving, but it's really not. We're the ones that are moving. The earth, as it spins and goes around, and all of the planets, and you know, the earth and the tilt of it, it's like it's bowing to the sun. I tell you, there's just so much in this that I don't want to get into that so much as focus on this text, but there's a lot in that. Just by looking up, we can learn about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he says, "I am the light of the world." And then he says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Now he's talking about what we do or should do and following him. And that we won't walk in darkness if we follow him. You know, there is, speaking of creation, there is something called a sunflower. Now, I was watching the news the other day, and they were talking about sunflowers. You can learn some stuff watching the news. It's not all bad. There's some things. But this sunflower, they say, is heliotropic. Now, that's a big word, but it simply means it follows the sun. Okay. A plant, the sunflower, that follows the sun. I mean, it's facing the east. As the sun goes, it follows it all the way to the west. I mean, Isn't that something? That there is, in God's creation, a plant that does that.
Amen.
As a picture of what you and I should do. In following the Son.
Amen.
In Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee."
Right.
Oh, I tell you, peace, what a blessing for the child of God to have.
Amen.
Perfect peace, how is it found? In your mind being stayed on him.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the time when Peter walked on the water with Jesus. You know, sometimes we lose some things about this account that we may not consider, but you know, I love seeing water that is perfectly calm, a beautiful reflection of everything around it. It's a beautiful scene. That's not the water Peter walked on. But we're talking about white caps and waves and all that. That's the water he walked on. And he walked out on that water with Jesus, and everything's fine until he took his eyes off the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, the storms of this life are going to come, but I'll tell you where your mind needs to stay.
Right.
Even in the storm. When Peter took his eyes off the Lord and saw the wind and the waves, what happened? He started to sink. And I can promise you this, the same will happen to you.
Amen.
If your mind does not stay on the Lord, no matter what the circumstances of life are, your mind must stay on the Lord to have that perfect peace. Like the sunflower. The sunflower that stays fixed on the sun. You know, being the curious person I am, I thought, well, what if the sun's not out? What if it's dark? What if it's cloudy? What's the sunflower do then? You know what it does? It faces the east in anticipation of it coming back up again.
Wow.
I tell you, Jesus is the light of the world. And even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of trials, I tell you what you should be looking for. It's the promise, the promises of God, that He is coming again.
Yeah, amen.
Now, He's going to come again in the resurrection of the final day, but I believe He'll come again even in this life.
Amen.
I believe He's been here with us already
this
weekend. I believe we have seen Him this weekend. But I'll tell you, if you want to be as He describes here, to not walk in darkness. Now, I don't want to walk in darkness.
Right.
You know, if I know I'm going to have to walk in darkness, I'll tell you what I do. I go ahead and put things where they need to be, and I move tripping hazards out of the way. And I'll tell you, that flashlight on your cell phone is very handy. I don't like walking in darkness. You might step in a hole. You might step on a snake. All kinds of trouble comes when you walk in darkness. Darkness is not good for the child of God. In fact, it's good for the enemies of God. It's good for this world. It's good for Satan. Satan wants you in darkness. He wants you to walk in darkness because then you don't see the tracks that he's laying for you.
That's right.
I tell you, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who our enemy is. That men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Amen.
They want to hide what they're doing. And I don't want to walk in darkness. I want to walk in light. How do I do that? How do I walk in light? Matthew chapter 16, Jesus makes this statement to his disciples on this occasion. He says this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, sometimes you're not quite in a position where you're ready to follow him. I'll tell you what you got to do first. You need to deny yourself. This world teaches you to love yourself, know yourself. I'm going to tell you, get over yourself. I tell you, I love the definition of humility and meekness. And you know what that definition is? Self-forgetful.
Yeah.
Not worry about yourself. Forget about yourself.
Amen.
If you want to have a home in the Lord's kingdom, You need to deny yourself.
Amen.
That's a daily struggle, a daily thing, but get over yourself.
Yeah.
This is not about yourself.
Yeah.
Now, we're born into this world that's full of ourselves.
We are.
I mean, we had three babies that came in this world, and they wanted to take over our house. Now, I was all right with that for a few months because they're babies and they're cute. But the lack of sleep and all that gets old. I'm ready to take back over my house. Take up your cross. Follow me. You know, we all have a cross to bear. The Bible says in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. You're on a cross to the world. Dying a slow death. Take up your cross. You know, you can't walk if you're attached to a cross. If you're still attached to this old earth, you can't walk and follow Him. Some people are not ready to follow Him. They first need to deny themselves. Then they need to get to work and take up their cross and carry that cross and do what? Follow Him.
Amen.
Follow Him. You know, that sunflower follows the sun from the east all the way to the west. You know, if you study the life of Jesus Christ, you'll see that even as a young child, well, really even before, you know, oh man, I'll tell you, this morning, Brother Jerry's talking about the babe, John the Baptist, leaping for a womb, and his mother's womb for joy. His birth, the miraculous nature of virgin birth, just studying how He came into this world. You know, in fact, if you ever have the opportunity to go listen to the heavens declare the glory of God. I remember one time I was sitting there on the ocean. I love it when the ocean is facing east because I like to get up and watch the sunrise. And on the ocean, there is nothing blocking you from seeing that sunrise. And what's amazing to me is if there's a time that says the sun rises at this time, how light the sky gets before that time even comes.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
That's right.
It gets so bright before you even see the sun. You know, John the Baptist, Jesus says in John 5, was a burning and shining light who went to prepare the way before the Lord. Ted, they started seeing the brightness of the light of the world before He ever came.
Yeah.
That sunflower facing the east, waiting on the rising of the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. Oh, let's be that sunflower. Watching as He is born into this world and seeing Him laid in a manger, born into poverty, made Himself of no reputation. Oh, to be like Him, to have the mind of Jesus Christ, to follow Him and having no reputation, not trying to be somebody in this world. You know, Moses went 40 years of the first part of his life in the school of Egypt trying to be somebody. And then, the next 40 years of his life, he spent on the backside of the wilderness leading sheep, realizing he was nobody. And the last 40 years of his life, leading Israel, realizing God's it. Now, where are you at in your school? Are we still trying to be somebody? Have we learned that we're nobody? Are we seeing that God's everything?
Amen.
He came into this world. Though He is rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. And even at the age of 12, you may say, oh, I'm too young to do anything for the Lord and the Lord's service. I think we've seen this weekend that you can do some things in your youth.
Amen.
You know, Jesus at the age of 12 already wanted to be about the Father's business. I tell you, remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, before the evil days of old age come. Use your youth. You have such a blessing in having that youth. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man, cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto to thy word. You want to clean up your way? You listen to the Lord's word. It'll clean your way. In your youth. So here, the sun's rising. And He comes to that river Jordan. And he comes to John the Baptist and he's baptized in the River Jordan. If you want to follow the Lord, I'll tell you, if you haven't been baptized, how can you claim you're following the Lord?
Amen.
You can't make that claim if you have not been baptized. If you want to follow the Lord, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him and be baptized. Yo, if we get back to our text, he says, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." If you don't want to walk in darkness, then you've got to follow Him. And that following Him must involve baptism. You can't follow Him without being baptized. The sunflower watching this sun arise sees that in the life of Jesus Christ. In Acts 10:38, the Apostle Peter says, "He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil." We see Jesus going about. What's He do? He does good. Oh, I tell you, follow Him. But you know, one of the most wonderful things about watching that sun as it goes through the course of the sky, you know, there's a lot in that. You know, why is the sky blue? Well, the garment of the high priest was all of blue. You know, and that blue sky actually blocks what you see when it's dark, and that's the stars. You know, the Bible continually says that God's children are as the stars of the sky from old to. When you see those stars up there, you're seeing a picture of God's people that are covered in blue when the sun shines by the garment of the high priest. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, you see more and more in this as you study it. But when that sun goes down, and you see the colors of the sunset. Y'all seen that?
Yeah.
How they're red, blue, purple. Well, yo, what do you see in that? When the Son of God was at the end of His days here in this life, I tell you, He was met by a violent death. It involved His blood, His bruises. Blood's red, bruises are purple. You see these colors as the sun goes down. That sunflower sees that. As the sun goes down, when the sun goes down, it turns right back to the east. Right back to facing the east. That sun goes down. And you know, I don't know what our life might have in store, but what if we had to die for the cause of Christ? Is your mind made up right now that you're willing to give it all up for the Lord? You're willing to give up, you know, the rich young ruler was not. He was not willing to sell all that he had. He's not willing to give it all up. Are we willing to sell all that we have for the Lord and the cause of Christ? Yeah, you know, we need to go ahead and make our mind up like those in Daniel chapter 3, the three Hebrew children, where it says they were given a second chance. You didn't bow to this image, so we're going to give you another chance. And they said, "We are not careful to answer." Why were they not? You know, I found in my old age that it's important that you carefully make decisions and don't make decisions like that. That's not usually the best decisions to make. Take your time and make a good decision. But the only way they could respond like that is if their mind was already made up. They had already carefully considered this before the question was even asked.
Right.
And they said, "We don't have to take any time to give you a response. We already know our response."
Amen.
And we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They said, "You can throw us in there if you're not, but the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from that burning fire furnace, and He will deliver us from thine hand over you." That's some folks who have their minds stayed on God. That's some folks who are in perfect peace in terrible circumstances. That's a sunflower.
Right.
They don't walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. This is what they'll have. They won't walk in darkness, but they'll have the light of life. You know, if He is the light of the world, if you're with Him, doesn't that mean there'll be light? I mean, there can't help but be light if you're with Him. You know, there's a text in Psalm 89 verse 15 says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. His own countenance provides light. And what kind of light is that? Well, we're told in heaven there will be no need for the sun because he is the light in heaven. We don't need the sun. We've got the true light. We've got the light of Jesus Christ, the light of his countenance. Don't you want to walk in that light? Well, that takes, you know, notice what he says here in John 8, 12, this last expression, but shall have. Now, I like that word have because to me, it tells about a context of marriage. When two people are married in their vows, they now have each other to have and to hold from this day forward. When you get married, now you belong to one another and you have one another. You know, this text says, we have the light of life. Well, listen to that expression, the light of life. If I go back to John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus being the Word of God. He acknowledges that he is the part of the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It says in John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here he says, the light of life. Who do we have? I'm thankful to tell you, we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light of life. That's what we have. And you don't have to walk in darkness.
Amen.
You don't have to walk in this world in darkness. You have the light of life. You have the Son of God himself as your husband, as your companion, to walk hand in hand down the road of life together. You have him. You have the true light.
Yes.
But you know, the Bible tells us he gives us more light than that. The Bible tells us that this gospel actually is a light. Turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and notice what it says here about darkness and light in this context. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, you know, someone who's lost, they don't know where they're at or how to get where they're going, I guess. We're not talking about someone who's dead. You know, I hear other orders talk about someone who's lost as if they're going to hell. Well, I want to tell you, you may be a child of God and be lost. You don't know where you're at or where you're going, so how do you get there? How do I get off of this path of darkness into the place of light? That's where I want to get. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word tells us where you at or where you're at the moment. Boy, if you want to know where you're at, you need to read God's word. Even in 2025, it'll tell you where you're at. And it'll tell you where you should be going.
That's right.
That this path is well lit. In fact, in Proverbs 4:18, he says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I tell you, the path is well lit.
Amen. Amen.
Path is well marked. You know, Brother Jeb loves when I tell these stories about when we went elk hunting in Colorado and the snow was on the ground. I'll just say, the path is the preferred place to journey. Because if you get off the path, that snow can be up to your hips. And you know, you may not think it's a lot of effort to raise your foot up high once or twice, but if you do that over and over again, I'm going to tell you, that's a workout. But on that well beat down path, journey's a whole lot easier.
Amen.
But he and I never tried that in the dark. Imagine. That would have been a whole lot different experience in the dark because it was not lit. How would we even find the path? Well, I'm going to tell you, God has marked his path. It is well lit.
Yeah.
Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And I'm telling you, even though he doesn't say that in Matthew 7, it's also well lit.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, we've done some deer hunting in the past, and well, I say the past, it's just not deer season right now. We'll be doing it again in the future. But, you know, when you shoot those deer, I like it when they just fall over and, you know, that's it. But, you know, sometimes they run off. And then, depends on how well you hit them. You'll be following a blood trail at that point. And I don't know how they get to the places that they get. But there are some trails that a deer can go, and a human was just not meant to go that way. And, you know, if you're having to crawl, how does that deer get through there anyway? There's a big difference in that path and being out on the interstate going 75 or however fast for the mark goes. Broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, and they're going fast too.
Yeah.
You know, the devil wants you to go faster than you're going. He can get you to commit all kinds of sins and just go fast. And I'll say the Lord's way is not that way. The Lord's way is straight. S-T-R-A-I-T. That does not mean straight, although I believe His way is straight. It's not crooked, but it means it's difficult. It's a difficult way. It's a narrow way.
Right.
What does it lead to? Life. Oh, I tell you, there's no more better, more abundant life than the life that straight and narrow way leads to. But it's well lit. It's lit by the Word of God. It's lit by the path of the just. You know, we have so many great examples. I'm thankful for this room that has old and young. The older who leaves such a good example for us to follow behind. And this, the path of the just is well lit, it's well marked. But he says here in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They've lost. They've gone off of the path. They're not where they ought to be. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world, I believe he's talking about Satan, had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now the God of this world is actively at work, Satan is actively at work, trying to blind your mind. Your mind is the battleground. It's no telling where our minds have been, just even in the service. Oh, Satan tries to lead our minds away. Keep them busy, keep them distracted, keep them away from the things of God, the Word of God. Keep our minds away, lest what? The light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them.
Amen.
There is a light shined in the preaching of the gospel. And that light, we can miss. We're not paying attention. We fall asleep. We even have to step out and go to the restroom. I encourage you to do that first. Where you going to be? Any little distraction, any little thing, Satan has tried to blind your mind and keep you in what? Darkness. He wants you in darkness. Keep you in the dark. But he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. You know, back to that sunflower. That sunflower follows the sun while it's growing. While it's growing. But when it's done growing, it doesn't follow the sun anymore. It stays fixed, looking towards the east. And when it's done growing, it actually looks like the sun itself. You know, child of God, you say, well, I've already been baptized, all that stuff you're talking about, being young, doesn't apply to me, all that stuff. Well, I'll tell you, it's time for us to be looking toward that eastern sky.
Yes, sir.
For the Son of God, who says He's coming back again, as lightning that shines from the east to the west, looking towards the east.
That's right.
We have a cemetery back home, and, you know, we are so blessed with technology today to know what due east really is. We have two cemeteries that are all fenced in the same place. And one of our brethren on the cemetery committee says, now, we did make a discovery. The older part of the cemetery is not quite facing east like the newer one is. It's a little bit off. He says, but I don't think the Lord's going to have any problem. But looking to the east, even in the darkness, in the dark times, that sunflower looks to the east in anticipation of the sun rising again according to God's promise. You know, I'm thankful to tell you, in our experiences on the road of life, we have differences of elevation. in that experience. And there's been times in my life where I've gone to the top of a mountain, and that mountain is above the clouds, and down below the mountain it's raining or gloomy, but on top of the mountain, the sun's shining. Isn't it wonderful to come to Mount Zion, and no matter what's going on in this world or in this life, how dark and gloomy it may be, the sun's shining here,
right,
on top of the mountain.
Amen.
God said He established the mountain of His house, and the top of the mountain's exalted above the hills, and the sun shines in this place.
Amen.
See, we see the sun shining in this place, and we don't see it out in the world.
Right.
I believe He's shining in the world, we just may not see it, but He's shining in this place.
Amen.
There have been times when I left home and I started taking on a lot of airline flights, where I'd go to an airport and it'd be rainy, it'd be dark, it'd be cloudy, and we take off and we ascend through the clouds and the sun is shining. You know, that sun is always shining whether we see it or not.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His glory is all, you know what sun means? It means brilliance. His glory is always brilliant. Whether we see it or not, it's there. And I encourage you in your journey in this life to go up higher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go up higher.
Right.
But if you've ever tried to walk in the mountains like Brother Tim and I have, that's not easy work. Now, flat grounders, I mean, we can walk around and say, I walk 3 miles a day. That's great. Go try doing that up straight up a mountain. That's a lot more difficult. And I'll tell you, the journey of this life of following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no one said it would be easy. And I'll tell you, Jesus, He fought the hard battle alone. And you may have to go at this journey alone, but I'm going to tell you, you're never alone because He goes with you. He has promised He will never leave you or forsake you. So go up. Go up on your journey and see that sun shining in its brilliance and its strength. And as you, like a sunflower, should look more like Him.
Yeah.
Amen. We should grow to the point that we are more like Him, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we should be looking towards the east, looking to the promise of God for that day when He'll return. But until that day comes, I want to tell you, you have the light of life. I thank you for your goodness.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.